This week's Parshios, Parshas Matos, Masai, begins with the Halachos Nedarim in Parshas Matos. And part of the idea of Nedarim is the idea that a person's words, this person's mouth, his tongue, his speech, is extremely powerful. And Lo Yachel Devaro, a person should not profane his words, which means a person should live up to what he says. Everything that comes out of his mouth, he shall do. And what's really hidden in this, the idea of Nedarim, this is one of the reasons why we start out with Kol Nidre on Yom Kippur night, is that we need to know the power of our speech and the power of our tefillah. It said, I remember hearing after Rav Yaakov Edelstein's Zatzal passed away a few months ago, that he had, the reason why he had tremendous koach habracha and koach tefillah, and I heard personal stories about the yeshuos that he was able to help out with his koach habracha and koach tefillah, was because he never spoke badly about people. He only spoke positively about people, of course, no lashon hara, and so on. When a person guards his tongue, so not only can he give brachos, but of course, his own tefillos are much more powerful. So if a person doesn't, and there's no better time to work on these inyanim, these topics of speaking nicely and not speaking lashon hara, than the 3 weeks, of course, and as we approach Rosh Chodesh Av and the 9 days. Also in this week's parasha that's related to tefillah as well, is that we know when the Moshe Rabbeinu prepared the Jews to go out to battle with Midian. So the pasuk says, "Elef lamata, elef mata," and the Medrash tells us that from every shevet they sent out 2,000 people. 1,000 went to war, and 1,000 davened for those people. And those people were actually sent to the fields. So Rav Chatzur Levenstein, Ori Chezkel, Chelik Dalet of Emuna, page Kuf Pei, asks the following question: 3 questions. Number one, why did you have to send the 1,000 people davening out to the battlefield, right? Wouldn't it have been better to put those 1,000 people in shul, let them daven with better kavana in shul, and that's how 1,000 people will be able to prepare, will be able to have a good davening for the people that are out in battle? That's question number one. Question number two, why did it have to be that 1,000 people from every shevet went to daven? Why wasn't it enough to have a minyan, the most chashuva people, have 1,000 chashuva people, or whatever it is, 10 people, as many number as you want, have them daven in shul, or on behalf of the Jewish people in general? Why did it have to be that every shevet had 1,000 people dominating, 1,000 people fighting, and they sort of had to be paired up, so to speak? And question number three is that if this is a Melchemes Mitzvah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to go out to battle, Nakom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'esim Injonim, so we're for sure going to be victorious. So why do we need these people davening? It doesn't make any sense. So to review the 3 questions. Number one, why couldn't they stay back in shul? Why do they have the dafka accompany the soldiers? Number two, why was the dafka 1,000 per shevet parallel to the 1,000 people that were fighting? Just have a minion of people or a certain amount of people? And number three, which is really the most important question, is that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mavtiach that we would be successful, why do you need the koach tefillah? And Rav Chatzur Levenstein explains an amazing idea. He says as follows, that when a person is successful in life, and certainly in a battle of such magnitude with Midian, the danger is thinking, Kochi v'otzim yadi asli esachayel azeh. When a person sees his success, when a person sees he's victorious, so the natural reaction is to think that, hey, it's me that's doing it. And therefore, to answer all the questions, question number one, the reason why they had to be in the battlefield was to remind the soldiers that they're being dominant for. Meaning, if they wouldn't see the people that were dominating for them in the battlefield, so they would think, hey, it's all me. Number two, why the same question the same way. The reason why each one had to have somebody davening for him is because they may think that it's them. Number one, if they don't see them, and number two, if they don't realize that there's somebody davening specifically for them, they may come to think that it's them who's creating the victory, and it's them who's being successful in battle. And number three, certainly, the same answer applies as well. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, for sure, I'm going to save you. You're going to be successful in the war against Midian, no question about it. But I don't want you to think and have the danger of thinking that it's from you. It's not you, it's me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even though we were guaranteed that we would be successful, even though we could have had them daven elsewhere, it had to be that we had to have, the davening had to be clear that it was being done in front of us and for us to make us realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's making everything happen. He's the one who's giving us the strength to do everything that we accomplish. And this is something so important in life. I was talking about this with somebody else this past week, that the more successful, and I've said this many of times, I say it over the name of Aaron Cutler, I have to look up the source, but it's a very interesting phenomenon, that the more successful a person is, the more accomplishments he has, the more he thinks it's him. But it has to be the exact opposite. On the contrary, the more a person succeeds, the more he has to be indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven even more and say, thank you, Hashem, for all the success and all the help that you've given me through up until now. There's no way we could accomplish anything in this world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our tefillos, of course. And that's the message of Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata. We should never think, even though we know that we're going to be successful, Hashem told us we're going to be successful, we shouldn't be put into a situation where we can have the danger of thinking that we're the ones who are the ones who are responsible for the accomplishments, but rather no. It all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who's calling the shots and giving us the ability to be successful in whatever we do. Just want to quote a few more Yisodos about this Koach HaTfila. The Siddur HaRokech says the following, Miyom Shechorav Beis HaMikdosh Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpia Tov LiYisrael Elo B'Zchus HaTfila. Right? That it all comes to Tfila. That's what, right, and we, of course, we're mourning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. All we have is the Koach HaTfilah, and that is what accomplishes everything. The Haflah writes in Ksubas, and the Haf Samach Zayin Rebbe is the following, Yadu al kol hamamin ba'ashkochas habori yizborach. Anybody who knows and believes in Hashem, ki ha-parnosa v'ha-michia b'galuseinu, to get sustenance in this world, he b'schar ha-tfilah, is in reward for our tfilah, b'mokom ha-avodah shel mizbeach, which is in place for the avodah of the mizbeach, shayimazin es Yisrael, which sustained this Klal Yisrael. That's the Mizbeach was what sustained Klal Yisrael. And now, since we don't have the Mizbeach, all we have is Tefillah. So we have to realize that any parnasa that we have in life is all coming from the Koach HaTefillah. He also, Malach Biederman, quotes a story from the Oiv Yisrael. The Oiv Yisrael, the Abdur Ruv, had a call for Avreichim. And he gave out money every Rosh Chodesh. And he had discussed that every Rosh Chodesh, he always had enough money to give out to all the people. And the Avreichim always felt a certain level of comfort knowing that, oh, we don't have to daven so much for parnasa because the Rebbe, the Oiv Yisrael, is going to give us money every Rosh Chodesh. One time it happened, and one of the Avreichim was about to daven for parnasa in Shema Kulin, and he realized, hey, today's Rosh Chodesh, I don't have to daven for parnasa. The Rebbe is going to give me my parnasa, and I don't need to daven hard for parnasa today because I'm sure going to get it. And after davening, they all lined up for the Rebbe, and right before this guy's turn, the Rebbe ran out of money. No problem. He went back to his room and got more money to give out to the other Avreichim. But for some reason, he skipped over this Avreich, and he went to the next one. And this one, and at the end of the line, so this Avreich didn't get his money, and the Rebbe had no more money left. So he went to the Rebbe. He said, "Rebbe, where's my money?" And this is what the Rebbe answered him. Habet Urei, come and see. Hine b'kol chodesh v'chodesh ma'azmen HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodei es haschum ha-meduyak sheni nitzrach avar b'nei ha-kolo. Every single Rosh Chodesh, I get exactly the amount that I need for the kolo. That's what comes out. V'ar ha-yom lo ira she'yichas le'echad. Until today, it never happened that the money that I was given to distribute to the guys in the kolo was ever missing. V'lo yikabal samagiyolo. And that somebody didn't receive what he was supposed to get. Im kein, mikem shal kibaltis ha-mos harei ira kach min ha-shamayim. The track record has been so exact and so precise that I've never had a situation where I didn't have the money to pay every avreich. So there's something min hashamayim over here. There's something that must be amiss. And sure enough, what does he say? The avreich understood that until that point, everybody was davening and they were zoche. And there was okay to receive the monthly stipend. But since he didn't daven because he felt too confident with the fact that every Rosh Chodesh he gets his parnasa, so because he didn't daven properly, he wasn't zoche. But you see from here, a tremendous yisod. Everything comes from tefillah. A person has to continue davening, whether he doesn't have, whether he has. If he does have, he has to continue to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I still need parnasa, and I just want to thank you for the parnasa you've given me. And when it comes to everything in life, as we've seen, as has been mentioned, it's so important, the koach tefillah. And now, certainly, we want tefillah is a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, during the 3 weeks, heading into the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av, we have to enhance our tefillah, enhance our connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And one more yisod that I read here in last year's Be'er HaParsha from the Ma'ori Nayim. The Gemara tells us in Gittin, in the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, it says that Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis He was the one, he was Gadol Hador. He was there by the time when Bar Kamsa brought the korban, and he said, number one, not to be makriv this korban because it has baal mum, and also let's not kill him, even though they were concerned maybe he'll tattletale on them to the malchus. And the Gemara says, Amr B'Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, An v'sanuso she Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulis hechrivas beiseinu. It was the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Ma'ori Naim asks the question, he says, what do you mean his anivus? It doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Why was it the anivus of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? The question is, it's Mi'akar Adin. It was according to the proper halacha that we say, you don't bring a balmum to a korban. You don't bring a balmum as a korban. So how could we say that it was his humility? It was a straight up halacha. So the Ma'ori Naim is troubled by this, and he explains the following pshat. It's mechudish, but the question is very strong. It's not his humility. It was the Ikar Adin. A baal mum can't be read as a korban. So he explains as follows. The Rabbi Zechariah was the Gadol Hador, and he should have understood that if there's a chashash sakana to the entire Klal Yisrael, so mikoach that, he should have been matir, bringing a korban that had a baal mum. Why? Because Pikuach Nefesh overrides everything. This is not one of the big three. Right? It's not Gilurai Shrichas Damim or Avodah Zarah. And certainly he should have been Matir. So the only explanation is that what? The only explanation that Ma'ori Naim explained is as follows. It must be that Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis knew Baruch HaKodesh that the Churban is going to happen anyway. And even if it happened through the fact that the Bar Kamsa is going to tattletale on them because they didn't bring the Korban, which has a Baal Mum, it doesn't make a difference. Because why? Because the Korban is going to happen anyway. So therefore, he didn't think that it was proper Pikuach Nefesh to tell them to, yes, bring the Korban with a Baal Mum. Now, what does it mean, the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis caused the Korban? Because he was an Anov. Why was he an Anov? Because he didn't want to tell everybody that he knew that the korban was going to happen, because that would be haughty. That would be an expression of haughtiness, showing that he knows already from Baruch HaKodesh. So therefore, he didn't speak up. But had he admitted that he knew Baruch HaKodesh that the korban was going to happen, and that's why he said, "You know what? It doesn't make a difference. Bring the korban, which is about don't bring a korban, which is about moon, because anyway we can't be saved." If he would have told everybody that the korban is happening, says the Ma'ori Naim, the korban could have been prevented, which is an amazing thing. Okay, very mechudas de kupshat. But he's saying the Koach HaTfila, had Klal Yisrael knew, had Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis not been such an anav, and he would have told the Jewish people, hey, listen, I know Baruch HaKodesh, that the korban's happening, they would have gotten together, they would have been mispalel, and they could have prevented the korban Beis HaMikdash. And a similar thing is actually brought down in the Medrash by Yirmiyah, by Al Naras Bava. The Medrash tells us as follows. Not Luha Golios as the name Vros Yirmiyah Shapirish Mehem Go Kulam Bibchiv at Savchu Rabbi Yirmiyah Hariyata Menichenu. Right? They all turned to Yirmiyah was leaving the Jewish people, and they all said to him, "What are you doing?" And they started to cry, Al Naros Bovel. So says Yirmiyah Novi back to Klal Yisrael, Made Ani Alai. Had you cried like this before you left Sion, had you cried like this before the Churban, you would never have been exiled. You had the koach hatfilah, you had the koach to cry. Now we see very, very, very strongly over here that the koach hatfilah could have prevented the Golos, certainly based on the Medrash and Tehillim, and based on the Ma'ori Naim, the humility of Zechariah ben Avkulis, had he told them that the Churban was happening, it seems as though his anivus caused the korban. How did his anivus cause the korban? Because had he told them, they could have fixed it with tefillah. Now we know that we're heading into the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av, the korban, and we're still suffering. We still want to reconnect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now is the time to be mispalel. First of all, that we want to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu on a higher level through our connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, through our tefillah, and also anything we need in life, whether it's parnosa, whether it's health, whether it's shidduchim, whether it's children, anything and everything, we need the koach tefillah. I'd like to end with one more yisod that I read a few weeks ago in the new Chavetz Chaim Pirush from Dirshu. And basically, the Chavetz Chaim is talking about telling a rav or somebody's doing an avera, hoping that they will do tshuva. And through that, so actually, Nissim Karelitz Paskins, that you're allowed to tell somebody to daven for somebody else that he should improve his ways. Okay, based on the Gemara, of course, in Bruria. Now the Maharsha asks a question in Brachas Daf Yud Amar Aleph. He asks, how is it possible to daven for somebody else to have Yerushalayim? Does not the Gemara say, Hakobi de Shemayim chutz mi Yerushalayim? Everything's from Hashem except Yerushalayim. So how can I daven for somebody else that he should have more Yerushalayim? How is that possible? So the Chazon Ish writes in Or HaChaim, at the end of the Sefer in Gil Yonos HaChomish, he writes the following. He says that when a person davens, that's not called Bidei Shemayim, that's Bidei Adam. Let me quote a few. Shekevan Shehatfila Al HaDover, Nasai Dei Adam, since the tefillah comes from a person, V'lo Bidei Shemayim, it doesn't come from Shemayim, meaning it's a natural reality from the human being. Nikra HaDover Al Shema Adam, it's called the man's power. V'kavyoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Racham Tzeyeh L'Kaimus Tefilas HaShe'Adam. All Hashem does is help out and sort of facilitate and finish up the tefillah of man. But when we daven for somebody to have Yerushalayim, that's not called a blessing. And that's not called, you know, the answering of it. That's not called like a gift from Shemayim, but rather it's an automatic reality that's called Bidei Adam. And you see, wow, what an amazing yisod in our tefillahs. Our tefillahs are not necessarily dependent upon what Hashem does with them, but rather when we daven, it's seemingly automatic that we can feel guaranteed that our tefillos have power. So just the three yisodas that we discussed. First of all, that after the korban, whatever we need, we should daven for it. Number two, had we davened before the korban, we could have saved the korban. So now certainly we can daven hard and try to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please bring back the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina and the connection that we are so lacking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, that when we daven, it's an automatic. If it's a real physical reality in this world, and when we daven, it's called us doing it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just finishing the job and just helping our tefillahs go through. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and we'll be zoicha to see you, L'gula Shema, and all the best.